It's a Wednesday. That means we talk about my favorite NBA team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Wakel Soderquist with the Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. And Wakel, a good afternoon and a happy 2023 to you.
Yeah, same to you and the listeners and Albert Lee. And we it's only a one-game sample size, but we like the way 2023 got started.
We are unbeaten. We always got to look at the positives. We are unbeaten in the new year as the Minnesota Timberwolves get ready for Portland tonight. The LA Clippers coming up on Friday. We'll talk about those games coming up with Kel. I look at what happened on Monday night, the victory against the Denver Nuggets. And then, of course, Timberwolves fans know what happened on the last day of 2022, the loss to, I think, the Pistons had 8 wins coming into the game. This is kind of the way the Timberwolves season has gone. It has been the ultimate roller coaster. It's just when you think things are going to get better, they go down and then they go up a little bit. We saw one of the worst losses, not just this season, but maybe in franchise history, in my opinion, on December 31st. But then they come back and beat the best team in the West in the Denver Nuggets on Monday. Cal, I cannot put my finger on this team. I mean, it's nice that they got a win against Denver, but the consistency's got to come here in the new year if they're going to have a chance to a battle for the postseason.
Right, and I think they recognize that, or at least they've said all the right things in terms of knowing that they need to be more consistent. And I guess, as far as that loss Saturday to Detroit is concerned, if you want to continue the roller coaster analogy, that was we had seen ups and downs earlier in the season, but when you consider that they were on a 5-game losing streak entering that matchup, and that was kind of the best opportunity. When you consider the opponent and the upcoming schedule, that was a great chance to sort of end the streak and have some positivity that now that you were back home facing a rather lengthy homestand. And I think that was more, the roller coaster breaking down or stalling out and veering off the track. It was a new low on the season to be sure for the team, and I think the players recognize that. And I think what was interesting to watch as the game unfolded in that second half, and as the Pistons kind of made their comeback, the Wolves had the double digit lead at the halftime break, and you could almost see the Wolves, you could see them either forcing it or playing tight. You could almost feel that they felt the comeback happening in sort of slow motion and had no way to stop it. It was almost like here we go again. This is going to be what it is, and we're going to have to deal with it. And it was interesting because I think that it kind of gives you a glimpse of the mentality of a team when they are stuck in really a slump. And even that 5-game losing streak, that was the longest skid of the season for the Wolves. So you could say that they were already at a new low. But then probably the pressure that they put on themselves to get back home and to beat a struggling Pistons team that had the worst record in the league, it probably was just too much with what this team has already dealt with in terms of trying to find the consistency and find that identity. I think it all just kind of erupted on them, and it was great to see them come out. And, the Nuggets, when you talk about caliber of opponent, it's hard to find a test tougher than the Denver Nuggets in the way that they played recently. But to play well against them and to do it, shorthanded, not only with several of the guys that have remained out for the last couple of weeks, but also with both D'Angelo Russell and Naz Reid sidelined, I think it was huge. I think it was the urgency was felt, and they played with the proper intensity.
Now, Cal, I think I heard with that win against Denver on Monday, a 124-111 victory, again, snapping that 6-game losing streak. Have we won like 4 straight against Denver? And if that is the case, is that just a good matchup for us? Why are we having so much success against a very good Denver team?
It's really interesting. You go back to last season, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think, it was the Wolves during that second half of last year. It's kind of funny, as the Wolves dropped to 16-20 after the loss to Milwaukee, I believe, last week. So before the Detroit game, that was the exact same record that the team had through 36 games last year. And then they caught fire, and we know what they did in the second half of the season and ultimately making the postseason and all that. So I think, you know, whenever the Wolves play Denver, yeah, there's some good matchups in terms of what the Wolves try to, how they try to frustrate Nikola Jokic. I think they've had some defensive game plans that have worked, and certainly he's still going to get some stats. But Chris Finch has often talked about how Joker is such a gifted scorer and he's such a gifted passer that you almost funnel him to one or the other. You make him beat you as either A or B, but not both. And I think the Wolves do a pretty good job of making him pick the poison at least, and then kind of living with the results. And then maybe if a guy like Aaron Gordon has a big game, you probably lose. But if you get some other guys to miss some shots, then maybe your game plan works. But yeah, for whatever reason, you know, we've seen it with the Wolves too, and some of the other high caliber opponents they play, is they get up for those games. And I think it's something that this team has recognized during this losing streak and through the first half of the season, that it can't be we get up to play the Warriors or the Nuggets or an elite team in this league, but then we can't find that motivation, you know, on the road on the second end of a back-to-back against the Washington Wizards, or we can't find it at home against the Detroit Pistons. I think at times Chris Finch has admitted that this team maybe plays with too much entitlement or enters matchups with too much entitlement. And, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope that after that loss to the Pistons, that was the last time they needed to learn that lesson, because I feel like you and I have talked about it several times already this year. You can't underestimate an NBA opponent, even if they have guys out, even if they've got a losing record, even if they're at the bottom of their conference. They still have players that obviously are talented enough to be in this league. And on any given night, you know, if you allow them to, if you don't close out on threes and they start to get hot, it can be really tough to slow them down, even if they're normally just, you know, rotation guys, whatever. It's a lesson that it's got to be frustrating for Wolves fans, because we've seen it already several times, but hopefully it's one that they took to heart after that, that dreadful performance on Saturday.
Talk in Wolves basketball on a Wolves Wednesday here on Kate Radio at Cal Soderquist, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. And in that win against Denver, Naz Reid was out. Of course, Karl-Anthony Towns still out for a good period of time. I want to talk about Nathan Knight and Luke Garza. Now, Knight, 21-plus minutes. He had 8 points. Garza, 14-plus minutes. He had 9 points. It just shows how much depth there is in the front court for this team. And Nathan Knight is a guy that got some playing time last year, but I think that game on Monday definitely is going to earn him some more minutes going forward.
I think so. And I think, you know, those guys have played with confidence in the moments that they've gotten an opportunity really throughout the season. I think we saw Luka Garza have a pretty good game in New Orleans last week, I want to say. And it's just all about opportunity for them. And I think it's a credit to maybe the behind-the-scenes, yes, the coaching staff, but also the player development staff that works closely with these guys. You know, after practices, we see them all the time doing extra individual drills. And for Luka Garza specifically, you know, he's been back and forth between Iowa and the Twin Cities here. So he's gotten an opportunity to go down to Iowa and get extra minutes, get extra playing time, and kind of feel things out at this level and implement some of the things that his, you know, his coaches have kind of sent him down there to work on. And then he comes back up here and gets to practice with the big team and then gets some opportunity because the team's so shorthanded in the front court. So I think it's a group effort and a combination of both these players having the right mentality and keeping themselves ready when obviously the minutes have been fluctuating and been inconsistent. And then also the coaches, I think, get a ton of credit for keeping these guys ready and kind of giving them the right things to work with and develop their skill sets and have them ready to go when their numbers call.
Now, Cal, before we talk about Portland coming up tonight and the Los Angeles Clippers on Friday night, I have not seen yet the daily report when it comes to a status for tonight. How are we looking when it comes to guys maybe coming back? I know there was maybe some illness going through the team. What's the latest, I guess, injury report as we get ready for Lillard and the Blazers tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. The team did not hold a shoot around this morning like they normally do for home games. I think the snowstorm that we got here in the Twin Cities had something to do with it, that they maybe didn't want guys coming in right away in the morning. But so because there was no sort of, you know, shoot around or team practice this morning, there wasn't an updated, we couldn't get a picture of who was maybe there or not there.
Okay.
But yeah, specifically those guys, D'Angelo Russell and Naz Reid, D'Lo with the illness on Monday and Naz Reid with the back spasm. We'll have to see if both of those cases have improved at all tonight. And certainly the Wolves would welcome all hands on deck, because they'll still obviously be without Karl Anthony Towns. They'll be without Jordan McLaughlin. And I would think Taurean Prince is still out. The one good news on him in terms of his progress is we did see on Monday, he was kind of getting some, you know, some cardio, some running activity in, and just kind of probably in steps one or two in terms of getting back on the floor and sort of, you know, clearing all those hurdles that a guy has to clear before you can actually return to game action. So hopefully it's sooner rather than later for TP.
Wolves Wednesday, Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network. T-Wolves right now 17-21 in the number 11 spot, which would be on the outside of the postseason or outside the play-in game. They are a game behind Utah for the number 10 seed. That sixth seed is always important. They are 3.5 games back of the Clippers. Again, they're coming up on Friday. And Cal, give me your thoughts on those two games this week. Trailblazers right now 19-17 in seventh place. Mention the Clippers again in sixth place. I'm assuming both those teams are healthy. So a lot of NBA stars, some of the top players, going to be at Target Center this week.
Yeah, certainly. If you can shovel your way out of your driveway, come on down to Target Center, because these should be some fun matchups. We obviously know what Damian Lillard can do any given night. You know, he's a threat to do something special in terms of the way that he shoots the basketball, and we've seen him do it against the Wolves. You know, you only have to look back about a month when the Wolves were in Portland for two straight, and I think it was Anthony Simons in the first game that went for 30-something, and then Dame came out in the second game and kind of had a similar hot shooting night. So that'll be priority one for Minnesota, is, you know, closing out on three-point shooters. And then I think something that has plagued the Wolves during this losing streak, the rebounding. And if you don't close out a defensive possession with a rebound and you give your opponent second chances, those can just be fatal. And when you think of, you know, if an opponent grabs an offensive rebound, you're likely out of position in terms of who you're defending. So then all they have to do is whip a pass or two around, and usually there's an open shooter, and then all of a sudden you gave up, you know, sort of a back-breaking three. And guys like Lillard and Simons and Jeremy Grant is having arguably an all-star season for the Trailblazers. So they'll make you pay. So I think watching the glass and Minnesota winning that battle of the boards, that'll be huge tonight. And like you mentioned, the Clippers, you know, they basically got their full rotation, their full complement back about this time last month. So we'll see. I haven't looked yet to see if they play, you know, a national TV game on Thursday or are right back in action on Saturday. Because if you catch them on a back-to-back, then that's your chance to get lucky and maybe they sit one of Kawhi or Paul George. But we'll have to see.
That's right. Kawhi only plays like every third game. I'm joking, but it seems like that. It seems like that when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. Again, T-Wolves at Portland tonight, or not at Portland, at home against Portland, hosting the Clippers coming up on Friday. Cal Soderquist, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network, joins us each Wednesday. And Cal, before I let you go, I was at the game on New Year's Eve, and one thing I pride myself in, I never boo a team. I never, ever boo a team until I booed a team on Saturday night. And I'm going to say that they bounced back on Monday because they probably looked in the stands and said, if Aaron Worm is booing us, it must be really, really bad. So I'm going to take a little credit for the win on Monday. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I think they felt it, certainly. And, you know, they probably would have, in a way, they probably went back into the locker rooms post-game and booed themselves, so to speak, because they knew that wasn't, that effort wasn't requisite of what they have to bring. And I think, like I said, hopefully it was that sort of last straw wake-up call.
Sometimes in sports, you got to hit rock bottom to build yourself up, and that's hopefully what the Timberwolves are doing right now. They'll try to make it two in a row at Target Center tonight. Cal Soderquist, Minnesota Timberwolves Radio Network. Cal, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. Be safe up there in the cities with all the snow, and we'll talk next Wednesday.
Yeah, sounds great, Aaron. Thank you. Hopefully we're talking about some more wins.